National Theatre of Brent presents All the World's a Globe. Episode 3, The Fall of Troy, The Rise of Greece, The Olympic Games, Alfred the Great, The Birth of Rome, The Medes and Persians, and The Fall of Babylon. Presented by Desmond Olivier Dingle and Wallace.
Hello? Who is there at the gates of Troy?
We are a washerwoman.
What do you mean, we are a washerwoman?
Sorry, we are washerwomen, touting for washing.
Ha ha! You can't pull the wool over a Trojan's eyes. We know who you are. You're the Greeks, trying to inveigle your way into our city and end this endless war with our defeat. Hello? Who is there?
All right, we admit it. We are the Greeks.
Ha ha! Just as we expected.
Yes, you were right all along.
Ha 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 ha!
Anyway, now we're going home, back to Greece.
Back to Greece? At last! Hooray!
But, just before we do, we're leaving you a present. A Trojan horse.
A Trojan horse?
Yes.
Thank you. Hello?
It's the Greeks again.
Yes?
We think it's probably better if you take the horse actually inside the city.
Oh, inside the city?
Yes.
Okay, hang on. It's a very heavy Trojan horse.
It is quite heavy, yes.
Any particular reason for that?
No, not particularly, no. It's just a very heavy Trojan horse.
I see. And the sound of creaking armour inside, is that anything to worry about at all?
No. It often does that on a cold morning. Running in for a couple of minutes, it'll be right as rain.
Ah, right. And the sound of whinnying horses and the low murmur of men.
Look, if you don't want it...
No, we do. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, so to speak.
Absolutely. Oh, dear. Anyway, better be on our way. Back to Greece.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
How come there's only three of you?
Are the others went on ahead.
I see. Okay, bye.
Nice to meet you anyway. Bye.
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 Oh, dear. What a lovely Trojan horse. Well, I'm glad the war's over anyway. Won't need this old sword anymore. Chuck that away. Won't need this armour and helmet. Oh, I wonder what that little wooden door is in the massive left front fetlock of the Trojan horse. I think I'll open it and have a look. Hello? Help! Oh, help! It's the fall of Troy! Oh, help! Help!
And so it was, the Greeks swept immediately into Troy, thus becoming the Greek Empire, as they are to this day. This was mainly seen as the Greek gods, Zeus, Jove, Mars, Bounty, Venus de Milo, was all completely nude. In other words, if you was a Greek athlete, you weren't allowed even so much as a pair of plimsolls. Possibly the most famous Greek sporting event was, of course, the Olympic Games.
Hear ye! Hear ye! All Greek peoples throughout the world! I am Timon of Athens, Prince of Tyre. Are all the athletes waiting like greyhounds in their slips?
They've taken their slips off, Your Highness.
So they are now completely in the nude?
Yes.
For religious reasons, obviously.
Yes.
In that case, let slip the dogs of war and let the Olympic Games begin!
Hooray!
Hooray!
The Olympic Games were held on the top of Mount Olympus, apart from the Winter Olympics, which were held, as they are today, in Switzerland or Austria due to the snow. Unfortunately, the Winter Olympics were not popular with nude Greek athletes for obvious reasons. Many ski and bobsleigh stars died horribly from exposure and refused to compete. The Olympic Games, however, was invented, as is well known, to unite all nations upon the earth, but were a smaller affair than what they are now, obviously, seeing as everyone else was either still very prehistoric, United Kingdom, France, Belgium, etc., didn't yet exist, Africa, India, Australia, and so forth, or were only interested in board games, Crete, Egypt, Catalhoyuk, etc.
For this, Desmond?
Crete, Egypt, Catalhoyuk, etc. For this reason...
Catal what?
Hoyuk. For this reason...
Catalhoyuk?
Yes.
So what was that then?
Well, it was a very old, famous civilization, Wallace.
Catalhoyuk?
Yeah. For this...
Whereabouts was that then?
We're somewhere around about Turkey or Sweden, Wallace. For this reason...
So what happened in Catalhoyuk then?
Wallace, a number of things happened in Catalhoyuk, obviously.
Well, ordinary things?
Yes, ordinary, everyday occurrences.
What, like people getting up in the morning, going shopping, talking to the man in the shop about things? If anyone else comes in the shop, talk to him about things as well a bit. Go to another shop, go home, look at the local paper, see if there's anything you want, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
A bit boring, really.
Yeah.
So Catalhoyuk was very boring, basically.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, for this reason...
For what reason?
The reason there were no other countries competing...
In the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
I remember, yeah. Carry on.
Yeah. The Greeks constantly won all the medals, which rather defeated the object, obviously.
Of international harmony.
Yeah. And as a result became tragically spineless, which is the main reason they died out, as any psychiatrist will tell you. The birth of Rome!
It's me, Desmond, actually.
I go on then, Wallace.
The birth of Rome.
Thank you, Desmond.
Thank you, Wallace.
The Romans were the next civilization after the Greeks and were generally similar, wearing similar types of helmets and buildings. The Romans wore long white bath towels, which were called togas, from the Latin toga.
Toga.
Meaning a long white bath towel. Obviously, not everyone wore togas.
Togas.
Seeing as they were an insignia of rank. Soldiers and slaves wore tunics.
Tunics.
To denote their subsidiary status.
Togas and tunics.
Which were generally worn well above the knee, although they wore stout underpants underneath so as not to offend ladies whilst climbing into chariots.
So why did the Romans wear togas and tunics, Desmond?
Well, Wallace, the Romans wore togas and tunics.
Togas and tunics.
Will you shut up, Wallace?
Sorry.
Probably because trousers had not yet been invented.
So how was it the birth of Rome came about, as a matter of fact?
As is well known, the birth of Rome happened in a staggeringly short space of time. One moment there was a load of decadent Greeks flopping about all over the place.
Then suddenly there was the Romans coming out of nowhere!
I think that's my bit, actually, Wallace.
Oh, sorry, Desmond.
Then suddenly there was the Romans coming out of nowhere, covered in shields, hurtling about Italia.
Italy.
Gaul.
France.
And Hispaniola.
Scotland.
In wedge-shaped formations, taking everything over everywhere and stabbing their adversaries in the legs with their little short stabbing swords. However... Despite the breakneck speed at which the Romans made the Holy Roman Empire, as it was known, it didn't happen overnight, so to speak. Hence the well-known phrase or saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, which is not an overly intelligent epithet, if I may say so, seeing as obviously Rome wasn't built in a day. No city could be built in a day. Pompeii was destroyed in an afternoon, but that's a different story. Thank you, Wallace. And so we... Thank you. So we leave Rome at the height of her power, with the world still held in the tight-fisted grip of her chain-mail gauntlet.
The Medes and Persians.
For Medes and Persians were a very famous desert people, who had numerous wars with the celebrated Greek Alfred the Great. He often defeated them, although they often defeated him, as they done shortly before his death in the Battle of Boswell. A crucial feature of Median Persian society was that men and women were strictly separated, which is the main reason why the population dropped dramatically. The women lived in the harem and lounged on silk cushions in transparent lingerie. Excuse me, Mr. Barker, would you do the honours?
Important warning for all listeners. The rest of this program contains explicit sexual references and on no account should be viewed by listeners under the age of 18. Thank you.
Thank you. The women lived in the harem and lounged on silk cushions in transparent lingerie, while the men wandered about beating each other's brains out, as they do to this day. When it was discovered, however, that babies come through... sexual proclivity, and not just out of the blue on a Persian carpet, so to speak. Thank you, Wallace.
Pull the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Husbands and wives were allowed to meet once a year in order to do the necessary proclivities, although always under the strict supervision of three elderly lady magi, who was there to keep pleasure down to a minimum and generally take notes.
Hello, I am your new wife.
Hello, I am your new husband.
So did you enjoy our wedding then?
Yes, thank you. I particularly enjoyed the whirling of the dervishes.
Really?
Yes. Anyway, my beloved...
There's a lady there, Desmond.
Apparently...
What? There's a lady.
What are you talking about, Wallace?
There's a lady!
Am I too late?
Oh, I see. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd very much like to introduce now Juliet Stevenson, the famous Shakespearean actress and so forth.
Hello.
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 Yeah. Who has come to talk to us about Shakespearean England and life as a Shakespearean actress in the theatre today.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it's actually next week.
Next week?
Unfortunately, owing to a certain rescheduling.
Oh, great.
So you didn't receive the message?
No.
So I didn't perhaps send it?
No.
That would explain my fault then.
So, what do I do now, then?
She could play the elderly Lady Magi, Desmond.
Shut up, Wallace.
I'll just wait here for my cab, then, shall I?
Okay. Carry on, please, Wallace.
Yes, husband. Persian babies do not come out of the blue on a magic...
And so the mighty Medes and Persians pass on down the mighty corridors of history.
Is that the end of the Medes and Persians?
Yes, Wallace. The rise of Babylon. Babylon was the next major civilization after Rome, and was chief...
Before Rome!
Before Rome, and was chiefly famous...
Before Rome?
Of course it was.
Of course it was, Wallace. And was chiefly famous...
But we've done Rome.
Of course we've done Rome, Wallace.
So what are we saying here, Desmond? We're doing the history of the whole world, but not necessarily in the right order.
Don't be so pedantic, Wallace.
So it's in a complete mess, in effect, actually, Desmond.
Oh, that's rich, that is, coming from Mr. Fussy himself.
Me? Fussy?
Hello? Yes, your cab's ready downstairs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So it was that Babylon was cast in the sea and found no more.
Thank you, Mr. Parker.
I beg your pardon. So no hanging baskets?
What do you mean, hanging baskets? That's it.
The hanging baskets of Babylon.
Hello?
Hanging gardens of Babylon. That's the end.
Right. That was All the World's
Aglow.
Yeah,
I'm waiting up here.
Starring Desmond Olivier
Dingle. Oh, God.
I was going to do a demonstration of the hanging baskets, Desmond.
What do you mean,
Desmond?
It's gone?
I haven't got time for the hanging baskets.
Well, order me another.
But I've got all the bits for the hanging baskets.
What do you mean? It'll be half an hour. Who took it?
It wasn't even in the right place anyway, Desmond.
How could you possibly mistake Brian Redhead for Juliet Stevenson?
What?
The Babylons weren't in the right place.
The Babylons were in the right place structurally for the programme. Will you understand?
It wasn't, Desmond.
It was.
It wasn't. Wallace.
Oh, bloody hell.
Can I please have some quiet?
Sorry, Mr. Buck.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I'll have to start right from the beginning. That was All the World's a Globe, starring Desmond Olivier Dingle and Wallace. Patrick Marlowe's book of the same name was adapted for radio by the author, with additional material by Jim Broadbent and Martin Duncan. The National Theatre of Brent would like to thank Patrick Marlowe, Jim Broadbent, myself, Peter Barker, special guest Juliet Stevenson, and the producer, Lissa Evans. Next week, the Scythians and Mongols, the Dark Ages, the Vikings, the birth of England, the Black Death, the Normans and the fall of the Roman Empire, and special guest, Juliet Stevenson.
I just have to take the hanging baskets home then, don't I?
Will you shut up about the hanging baskets?